I'm Kaylee, I'm an addict.
Hi, Kaylee.
This hasn't really started the way I imagined at all. So I'm sorry for being late. I think, to be honest, I didn't really want to do a chair here. And think subconsciously I must have avoided it because I've been in Central 1 hour to get here on time. So I don't know how this happened, but that's my unmanageability and my nerves. And usually I'm really punctual, actually, to meetings, so it's a funny one. So maybe it's better, so I don't have time to think about how many people are sitting in front of me, which is making me really anxious. But I don't want to... Yeah, I'm not going to be able to look you guys in the eyes. I just can't handle it today. But I'm really grateful to be in a meeting. It's the second time I've ever been to this meeting. I've actually always avoided this meeting because it's quite big, and I kind of developed some kind of social anxiety and crowd phobia in recovery. So I do my meetings small, and I like it like that. And I feel really privileged to be in London because I have a choice to decide, like pick and choose which meetings I go to. Because I lived in Barcelona many years, and when I first got clean, I went back there, and there is no choice. You know, there's 3 meetings a week, and you better get on, because with the people there, which are like 4 people in NA, so you really have to get along. And so here, we really do have a privilege to choose. I think it's 15 minutes. I don't really like want to go into my using too much. I don't think I could compete with the kind of stories in this room. I'm not like an ex-heroin addict. I didn't use those drugs, and I used to feel quite embarrassed about that at the beginning of my recovery, which I think is sad now, like not in a pathetic way, more like I must have had incredibly low self-esteem to think that I should have tried heroin to be part of this club. And you know, only an addict would really think that way, because surely that's a pretty weird thought. And I really did feel, I mean, I think it's funny, but you know, once I shared that thought that maybe I should try heroin and come back in, and this woman came up to me after the meeting. She's like, you know, my friend died because she did that. And it's a real problem, actually, I think, in recovery, that people think that they have to, you know, choose and do certain drugs or have a certain story to fit in, and it's not like that. And I'm really glad I stuck around, because that insecurity is just not there. I couldn't care less about which drugs I used or not. I just know that it was really destructive, and my war stories are equal to anyone's in this room. And I also know where to share them. Like, when I first came to recovery, I was sharing the kinds of stories that really should be shared at women's meetings, in mixed meetings. And another woman came up to me and was like, maybe you just want to be sharing that stuff with your sponsor. So I learned a lot in recovery about what I want my recovery to be like, and keeping myself safe. And not that it's a dangerous place, but for my own sake, I have to be, you know, take care of, like, who I share things with. So I don't really feel part of this kind of NA, if I'm honest, because I basically only go to women's meetings and small meetings. And I feel like I've had complexes about that. I'm like, should I be more social within NA? Like, do I have to be in this middle of the bed that people talk about? And I don't think so, actually. I think what I have to do is work the steps and have a sponsor and have some really close friends in NA, like a few. I don't need more than that, personally. Like, I feel really happy with the kind of quite quiet, low-key NA that I live. So I don't know that many people here, which is quite scary. But I've been around for 3 years, and I've been going to meetings like constantly for 3 years. And I haven't always loved NA. Like, I've hated it, actually. So I'm just grateful that even though I've had these really complicated feelings about NA and questioning things, and I've just kind of weirdly consistently gone to meetings, and I still have willingness, because you'd think after 3 years, you know, I was sitting with my sponsor yesterday, like working on a step 2 and reading with a sponsor for 2 hours, you know, as if like I would have volunteered to sit in a stranger's house and like read together, you know, when I was using. And I'm still willing to do that. And I don't actually know why sometimes, like, but I'm still got this kind of desire for things in recovery which are nothing to do with not using. Yeah, so life is really different, and recovery is what I want to talk about, and how much that changes over time for me, and how grateful I have. Like, I don't love NA. Like, I always felt a bit ashamed of that. Like, I didn't feel, and I don't feel like I'm at home. And I felt like when people said that, I felt so jealous, you know, and I still feel quite anxious in a lot of meetings, but I've just accepted that that's who I am, and that I don't need to feel exactly the same as everyone else about NA, and like that gave me such relief. So I've enjoyed my recovery more than ever in my third year, because I kind of accepted that for me it's not like that. It's like really practical. Like, I don't want to use, so I go to meetings, and it's about friendship, and about like having a lot of dignity in my life and making choices that I would never have been able to make if I'd been using. And I don't know. I would have planned this more if I hadn't been so late, I think. So using just made me someone who, I was kind of addicted to pleasure. So anything that gave me pleasure and avoided like responsibility, that would be what I did. And I was very impulsive, and like I used lots of different things to get pleasure, like food and relationships and just the high of going out and then starting like taking new drugs. And I guess I thought I was pretty cool, and I think that's like, you know, one of the biggest things is like thinking that my image was pretty damn cool at the time. And then looking back, you know, there were some fun things about, I don't know, was it fun? Like there were some like really fun parts about using with like friends and having that kind of like craziness and spontaneity, but it was quite sad really, because you know I had no self-esteem. And if I look back on that, I really believe that that was kind of a big way of like protecting myself, being like the fucked up druggy girl, and not thinking I had like value in any other area of my life. So it was really easy to be bad and do lots of drugs and like follow that kind of image. So I just kind of took it very seriously and like had to update it on my Facebook at the time and make sure people knew how bad and like sexy and druggy I was at the time. And actually the first thing I did was delete my Facebook like 5 years ago, because I felt like I was dying inside and I projected this fantasy that people literally believed. I mean, people were like, you know, like you're living this amazing life in Barcelona with so many drugs around you and all these cool parties, like very underground, whatever that really means. And then, you know, deep down I was like failing everything and I was not able to finish any course I put my mind to. And I never had like healthy relationships. I feel quite like emotional, which is not good. Not now, I don't want it. I just didn't love myself and I didn't care about myself, but I did care about my appearance a lot. I still care about it, but this was a whole new level of what, and it was all about outside, you know, it was how people saw me on the outside. So when I stopped using and I moved to England to get clean and sober, that changed almost instantly, because I started going to university and I started like being someone who was quite reliable. It wasn't perfect, but I turned up and I finished a degree really recently, and I'm incredibly proud of that because I royally fucked up my education when I was using. And things are so much better in that way, you know? I just get to turn up for things, you know? Even though today's been a pretty difficult day, it's been really up and down. I've, like, turned up for this, you know, reluctantly, if I'm honest. And I did this, you know, I do what I love. I'm really lucky. I have something I do that I'm passionate about, and I finished what I set my mind to do today. And, I mean, I do kind of turn up for life. But it's not perfect. And what I would say, if I could talk to my younger self in recovery, was that you're not going to become like perfect. Like, I thought that when I got clean, I'd become this kind of like virgin saint, basically, who just knew how to have healthy relationships and never missed anything and would never be late to a meeting. And who, I mean, really, I had hardcore expectations of myself. And obviously, I failed. And I've had mad experiences in recovery. I've done things that I haven't even done clean, actually. So, you know, it hasn't been like that. And although the majority of my life, the way I lead it, I'm really, like, proud of and feels very integral. I have integrity. However, like, you know, in my relationships, for example, that has not been the case. And I was really surprised. I actually really did think that it gave you this kind of magic ability to have, like, healthy relationships with everyone, you know, and that I wouldn't, you know, make mistakes. And I've made mistakes in recovery, and that's okay, because I don't also like the whole, like, them and us. I feel like we're actually very similar to everyone out there. Like, I don't really like that so much when I hear it, because I think that most people have what the fears that we have, specifically around people hating us and, like, paranoia around, like, social paranoia. I think everyone has them, but they just have nowhere to talk about it, and we do. And it makes me feel really good when I think that I'm actually very similar to everyone else. I just have this annoying thing that if I do something that gives me pleasure, I tend to do it so much that it ends up destroying me, which is so annoying, actually. it is. It's really, like, annoying, isn't it? It's like, why? But it is the way it is. I'm really compulsive. And it can come out in coffee. You know, if I'm anxious, I'll drink, like, a lot of coffees just to make me more anxious, because I think I'm addicted to anxiety. Or like, if I have a relationship, we break up once, we have to break up like 6 or 7 more times, you know, so that I can like feel that pain like relentlessly for as long as it takes, you know. I don't know why, it's really stupid, but so those kind of things I see, like, I'm an addict, you know. I feel very comfortable going to other fellowships, like I don't have a problem with that, but I do really feel like I'm an addict. I don't feel like, thank you, that I'm like an alcoholic or whatever, all the other names that we have. Like, I feel like addict really suits what I have, because it's just the behavioral pattern and like all of that stuff. Yeah, but I actually do quite like myself today, and that's really what I came here for, and it's really amazing to be able to say that, because I don't think I was able to say that in my first year, neither my second year. It's really come through sitting through hating meetings. Like, I mean, it was quite a deep, sincere hatred towards meetings. I don't even know exactly why, like, if you ask me why, but at some point I was like, I just fucking hate, like, this is just wrong. This is, like, terribly wrong, even though it's keeping me clean and, like, I've been really successful in my personal life in general, but I don't want to be here. And then I kind of sat through that, and I was like, okay, you don't have to love it, you don't have to hate it, you could just, like, accept it and not be so dramatic. And just be like, you just go to meetings. Like, sometimes you go to the gym, but you don't want to. Like, but it's healthy. So I try not to, like, force myself to love or hate or choose anymore. Like, if I want to go to another fellowship, I will. Like, it doesn't mean I'm not part of this one. So I feel very free in my recovery, but it took a lot of work and a lot of pain. Yeah, and I will say that, like, my emotions in recovery, sometimes when people said, like, their worst day wasn't, I don't know, some saying about bad days and using, but my emotional states, I have to say, in recovery have been, like, much worse than when I was using. But that's because I've got nothing to medicate with. I do, but nothing like a drug, nothing like a pill or something that would be, I don't know, like, I've had, like, serious difficulties with my emotions in recovery. I mean, I've sought outside help, and, you know, I think there is outside help for that. And, yeah, I was surprised. I kind of didn't expect that. But, you know, I think I've been running away from my feelings for so long that when I finally felt them, it was so painful. I literally thought I was going to die sometimes with my emotions. It sounds so dramatic, but actually that's the truth. Like, it really does feel like that. And then all those people telling me it would pass, it will pass, it will pass. I remember it was really annoying when people said that. But actually, it's true. You know, it actually does pass. And, yeah, I mean, I'm going through the ending of a relationship, like a long, like, very long ending, and, you know, I've had a breakup in recovery, and I actually thought, like, that would be the end of me. Do you know what I mean? It was like a teenage breakup. It was like teen angst. It was the worst. And then the second time round, I'm not as scared. Like, I don't like it, but, like, I know I'll come through it. I don't know, it's a nice feeling, because that's what I wanted in recovery. I just wanted this feeling that things would be kind of okay no matter what, and I think I'm getting there. So I don't have, like, it's quite nice because recovery gave me, like, a humble aspiration. Like, it's not, like, of course sometimes I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to have a house, you know, because why wouldn't it be? But it is actually just to feel, like, okay, and just be like, okay, I'm not going to die if I have a breakup. I'm not going to die if I don't get the thing that I applied for. It doesn't mean I'm an absolute failure or, like, I might as well kill myself. So that's what I was, like, aiming for in recovery, and I'm kind of there. I don't want to kill myself if I get rejected. I know it sounds, but that's literally what I wanted, and I got it at the moment. And yeah, so it's not the big stuff, really. But anyway, it's nice to also achieve stuff, which I've been able to do, which I'm really proud of. But yeah, it's not easy. I don't know, it's a bit like just life. That's what one of my sponsors, I've had many sponsors, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I met this one woman and we just stayed. It just hasn't been the case. I've had lots, and it's been difficult. It's been one of the most hardest part to accept that kind of relationship. But I've learned so much from each one. I don't regret it. And, like, one of them, yeah, I don't know, just the things they say stick with me. And I just remember, like, I can't remember. I can't remember what I was going to say. Someone laughed, and I was like, shit, I can't remember. No, I think I might actually end it quite soon, because I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Okay, good. So that's good. I'm really glad I finally got the save and done with. Like, let's see if I come back, because it's a better meeting than I... Like, I just think I'm overwhelmed by groups of people. It can just be too much for me, to be honest, in recovery, so... But it might be time to start, like, making myself feel uncomfortable, because sometimes it really helps in recovery to do that. So I'm grateful for you to listen to me, and I'm going to finish there.
Thank you.